its continuing series on the transcendental life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his intimate devotees, Radio Krishna now presents a story about a great saint, namely Haridas Thakur. The material has been derived from the books Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj and Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and was excerpted from the book The Holy Name by Raghava Chaitanya Das. Your narrator is Amala Bhaktidas. And now, the pastimes of Haridas Thakur. This great devotee made his appearance in this world at the village of Budhan, in the district of Jessore, in East Bengal, somewhere towards the middle of the 15th century. It is roughly estimated that he was born 30 to 35 years prior to the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are no authentic records of his antecedents, his parents, boyhood, education. He was born in a Muslim family. We know him under the name of Haridas, which literally means a servant of Sri Hari. Though born of a Muslim family, he possessed an inexplicable aptitude for taking the name of Lord Krishna. Hence, violating the rules of Muslim society, he incessantly repeated Lord Krishna's name. He felt it was the sole support of his life. Having lost all attachment to worldly life, even when very young, Haridas Thakur left his native village. He came to another village, Benapol, in the same district and took up residence in a small solitary cell situated in a forest. He spent the whole of his time in repeating loudly the name of Lord Krishna. The Hare Krishna mantra, a formula composed of the 16 names of the Lord and formed of 32 syllables, was the one that Haridas adopted for his usual chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No doubt this was a grave violation of his social order. But the broad-minded saint, Haridas, was never given to such narrow sectarian feelings. Living upon alms, he continued staying at Benapol. Though a genuine saint, the great Haridas could not escape the scathing criticism and vilification of a section of the people there. Their actions and expressions were such that one is forced to believe that such persons are born in this world only for this purpose. The very sight of Haridas Thakur kindled wrath in their hearts, which went on burning with wild flames. However, their activities did not disturb his unflinching and spontaneous attachment towards his Lord and his services, even to a slight degree. No, he did not fall a victim to these ungodly and antisocial elements. He worshipped the sacred Tulsi plant, chanted daily, day and night, the name of the Lord 300,000 times, and ate food cooked in the houses of Brahmins, which he obtained by begging. Haridas Thakur gained within a short time great popularity amongst the local people. His reputation spread even to distant places. People from different places collected there to have a sight of the saint. They rendered him various services and tried to follow his soul-steering instructions. The enemies of Haridas could not tolerate the increasing influence that he was gaining day by day. Among these enemies, Ramachandra Khan, a local Hindu chieftain, was the foremost. He was puffed up with the vanities of wealth and a following. He was an uncompromising atheist, a terrible hater of devotion, and a noted leader of a group of skeptics. He became very jealous of Haridas Thakur and his reputation in the village and near about. He wanted to bring discredit to the noble character of the great Haridas. Being a great devotee, Haridas Thakur was a living example of all the excellent virtues. Even the worst critic could not detect a weak spot in his character. Ramachandra Khan knew this very well. He thought that he could bring about a moral disgrace of Haridas Thakur before his admirers. Unfortunately, Ramachandra Khan took Haridas Thakur to be a mere beginner in the devotional field, a weak-minded emotionalist who could be made an easy victim to the temptations of the world. Puffed up with the vanities of wealth, youth, and rank, he did not understand the marvelous glories of the devotees of Lord Krishna. Having full faith in his newly invented plan, Ramachandra Khan secured the help of the best prostitutes of the locality and asked them to spoil the character of Haridas Thakur. He promised them huge rewards. All these prostitutes, except one, did not accept the offer and retired. But one of them, young and most beautiful amongst the whole lot, ventured to accept the offer and assured him success by bringing ruin on the character of Haridas Thakur in 3 days' time. Ramachandra Khan was immensely pleased. He awaited the moment of his forthcoming success with great impatience and offered all help that he could muster to the young woman. He pressed her to take an armed sentry with her so that Haridas could be caught red-handed. But the young harlot declined this proposal and said that she would go first by herself, and that on her defeating Haridas Thakur, she would take the sentry to capture him on her second visit. Ramachandra Khan willingly accepted the harlot's plan. The young harlot started on her great adventure. She made a selection of the best costumes and, putting them on, reached the solitary cell of Haridas. It was an opportune time. The sun had set on the western horizon. The solitary cell of Haridas Thakur, surrounded by forest and the approaching darkness, appeared lonelier than ever before. An extraordinary calm, surcharged with the holy atmosphere, prevailed both inside and outside the hut of Haridas Thakur, who remained totally lost in the eddies of transcendental bliss. He was chanting incessantly the name of Godhead with deep concentration. It was exactly at this time that the young harlot reached him. However, she was not a stranger to certain etiquettes to be observed before holy personages. Hence, first she made her obeisances to the sacred tulsi plant that was grown in front of the hut, and then bowing down to Haridas, she stood there a while. She then slowly sat down at his doorstep. She exhibited her body to Haridas in various gestures and postures, like one mad with sensuous passions. She tried her best to make Haridas a prey to her wishes. She finally requested him, "O holy sir, you are a miracle of beauty and in the prime of youth. Which woman can resist her passions by your sight? I do not feel there is any such lady in the world. I have fallen immoderately a slave to the passions by the sight of your charming appearance. I have no power to check this. If you do not accept me, it will be impossible for me to live." Haridas Thakur did not totally disappoint her. He said, "I shall certainly accept your prayer. Till I complete my due number of chanting the names, I would not be in a position to oblige you. In the meantime, be seated here, listening to the chanting of the holy name. As soon as I complete my fixed quota of names, I shall fulfill your wish." The young woman was highly satisfied. She felt that her efforts were sure to yield her a triumph soon, and waited for the moment, listening to the Sankirtan of Haridas Thakur, who continued his chanting of the holy name till morning. But by the approach of the early morning, she could not notice any sign of its coming to an end. So she returned home, utterly disappointed. She apprised Ramachandra Khan of all the details of her meeting with Haridas Thakur. She assured him that her prayer would certainly be fulfilled when she would meet Haridas Thakur the next night. To Ramachandra Khan, her words were an oasis of hope, and the young harlot waited for her next opportunity. On the second day, the young woman, with all fresh hopes of success, reached the solitary hut of Haridas just after sunset. As on the previous day, after bowing down to the sacred Tulsi plant and to Haridas Thakur, she approached him. Haridas consoled her with soft words, saying, "Yesterday you had to return disappointed. Please do not be displeased with me. Unfailingly, I will accept you. You need not have the least doubt about it. Till I finish the required number of names, you listen to them. As soon as the number is completed, your wish will be fulfilled." The woman followed the instructions. Time rolled on rapidly. The young woman became more and more impatient as dawn was approaching. She became restless. Noticing this impatient attitude of the woman, Haridas said gently, "I have taken a vow of chanting 1,000,000 names of the Lord during this month. The number is nearing completion. I expected the same to be completed this night, and hence chanted the names throughout, but I could not succeed. However, by tomorrow I am sure the number will be completed and my vow fulfilled. Then I will be able to enjoy your company freely." That night, too, the young harlot returned by sunrise, utterly disappointed. She reported all that happened to Ramachandra Khan and the assurance of hope she got from Haridas Thakur. Full of hopes of success in her plan and with renewed enthusiasm, the harlot reached the lonely hut of Haridas Thakur on the third night. As on the previous 2 days, she bowed to the sacred Tulsi plant and to Haridas Thakur and sat at the entrance of the cell listening to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and repeating the same by herself. Haridas Thakur confirmed his previous assurances and said that he would definitely complete the number the same night and fulfill her wish. She was happy that she would have her wish fulfilled. By chanting the Lord's name all night in the holy company of Haridas Thakur, the sinful heart of the young woman was completely changed. She fell prostrate at his feet and confessed to him frankly all about the evil plan of Ramachandra Khan. She said, "I am the worst of sinners. Being a harlot by profession, there is hardly any sin that I have not committed. I can now understand that you are not an ordinary person. You are a jewel amongst the devotees of the Lord. Under the sinful instruction of this villain Ramachandra Khan, I have shamelessly turned all my efforts to contaminate your devotional heart. But your spotless and ever-devoted nature has worked marvels in my sinful heart. By singing the holy name in your company, all my evil propensities have been destroyed. Now have mercy on this wretch. Please free this sinner from this deplorable condition." Haridas Thakur was ever kind and sympathetic to all fallen souls. The sudden metamorphosis of this young prostitute and her truly repenting words moved his merciful heart to pity. He never thought even for a moment of the loathsome activities of this young woman. He pardoned her completely and said, "I am fully alive to all the evil plots of Ramachandra Khan. He knows not what he does. I wish him well. It is only for your sake that I continued my stay in this village for the past 3 days. If not, I would have left the place on the very first day." The young woman before Haridas Thakur was a thoroughly changed person. She no longer saw in Haridas a person who would gratify her sensuous appetites. On the contrary, she saw him as her spiritual guide, her savior from the thraldom of Maya or illusion, her sole support of life. She requested him, in all humility, to enlighten her as to how she could overcome the miseries of this transitory life. She had now proved herself to be a worthy aspirant for spiritual enlightenment. Haridas Thakur was fully convinced of her fitness to receive initiation into the secrets of devotion. He said, "Distribute freely all the wealth that you have to Brahmins. Take shelter in this hut. Chant the holy name constantly and worship the sacred Tulsi plant. In a short time, I am sure you will attain the feet of Sri Krishna." The merciful Haridas Thakur now initiated her with the divine name, and repeating the name of Krishna, left the place forever. The young woman who had become the recipient of the causeless mercy of Haridas Thakur obeyed his instructions to the last word. By the boundless mercy of her master, she could understand the true position of beauty and wealth in this changing world. Without the least hesitation, she fulfilled the wishes of her eternal guide. All her wealth was distributed to the Brahmins. Though of young age and beautiful complexion, she got her head shaved and, with a single piece of cloth for covering her nudity, stayed in the cell offered by Haridas, her merciful master. Obeying the command of her savior, she repeated 300,000 names of God in the course of the whole day and night. She worshipped the Tulsi plant every day unfailingly. Avoiding delicious meals, she was satisfied with uncooked food. Often she resorted to fasts. These methods helped her considerably to have perfect control over all her senses within a short time, and unalloyed love for Krishna sprouted in her pure heart. To the great surprise of all, she became a famous devotee of the Lord. She gained the position of a spiritual teacher. Her reputation spread like wildfire throughout. Devotees of great eminence from different areas often visited her hut for a sight of her. The inhabitants of the surrounding villages were greatly astonished by the wonderful capacity of Haridas that brought about a miraculous change in the life of a mere prostitute. Those very persons who had once hated her felt it now a great privilege to meet her. What a wonder! She, who was once the cause of the downfall of many and a repository of many foul deeds, was now fit to release others from the terrible grips of vices to a plane of perfect purity, the eternal plane of transcendental service of the Supreme Lord. Meanwhile, Ramachandra Khan, who was building castles in the air, had to meet with utter disappointment. He had to pay a heavy price for this crime of his. His cruel heart grew all the more wicked, and his hatred for God and his devotees increased very much. He brought down terrible destruction on himself. The offensive actions made him an irrepressibly arrogant man. He stopped paying regular revenue to the ruler. Hence, the Muslim ruler got offended and raided his house. He polluted the place by butchering animals. He cooked objectionable food there. Ramachandra Khan and all his family members were taken prisoners. The ruler and party remained there for 3 days, and all his property was plundered, including his village, and he was forced to take objectionable food consisting of blood and flesh of animals. Ramachandra Khan lost his caste, his wealth, his relations, and everything he possessed as his own. Offenses, when committed against the devotees of the Lord, are not forgiven even by Krishna himself. They are the worst impediments in the path of God-realization. Offenses committed against the devotees bring manifold sufferings, not only to the person concerned, but even to many others. Over and above this, it brings complete destruction of the place, that is, the village or township itself. For some time, Haridas Thakur lived at Phulia, a village situated on the banks of the river Ganges, midway between Ranagat and Shantipur, in the district of Nadia, West Bengal. Phulia was very near to Shantipur, where Sri Advaita Acharya was residing. Haridas Thakur was delighted beyond measure to have the company of Advaita Acharya. Saturated with ineffable joy, he spent his days in chanting the name of the Lord. Unattached to the mundane objects and undisturbed by the ups and downs of the transitory world, he was swimming in the ocean of transcendental bliss. By the influence of the higher qualities of bhakti, he experienced various moods. He danced, sang, wept, laughed, rolled on the ground. In short, he had all over his body the signs of divine rapture that a highly advanced devotee of Sri Krishna would experience. All the Brahmin inhabitants of the village were highly impressed by his marvelous achievements in the field of devotion. However, Haridas was not well appreciated by a certain section of the Brahmins, and more especially the Muslim population there. They joined in opposition and took exception to his chanting. To the Hindus and the Muslim opponents, it was a grave violation of the social custom. All these people regarded religion as a bundle of narrow dogmas and queer restrictions. On the western side of the Ganges lay the township of Ambua. A powerful royal officer in charge of the administration of the town and the surrounding villages had his headquarters there. The Brahmin opponents of Haridas Thakur, who had in them a deep-rooted enmity towards the devotees of the Lord, conspired with the local Muslims and came to a unanimous agreement to punish Haridas Thakur for creating social disorder. The matter was reported to the Qazi, priest, as well as the local administrator, who, after making a thorough investigation of the whole case, decided to bring the matter to the notice of his superior officer, the governor at Ambua. Accordingly, the Qazi himself went to the governor and apprised him of the whole case and requested him to punish Haridas Thakur in a fitting manner for his guilt of changing his religion from Islam to Hinduism. The governor, too, was narrow-minded and cruel-hearted. Forthwith, he issued orders to arrest Haridas Thakur. Within a short period, Haridas Thakur was produced before him. By the causeless mercy of Sri Krishna, Haridas Thakur was not afraid of death, not to speak of the Muslim governor and his wicked advisors. The virtuous and devoted inhabitants of Puglia felt extreme sorrow at this most unwise action of the government authorities in imprisoning a great saint, such as Haridas Thakur, and depriving them of his happy and inspiring company. Without the least hesitation, the cruel governor cast him into a prison like an ordinary felon. There were at that time many others in prison. As soon as the arrest of Haridas reached their ears, they experienced great joy. They thought that since Haridas was a devotee of the highest order, if they merely saw him, it would bring to an end the miseries of their present prisoner's life. Hence, all of them requested their warders to afford them an opportunity to have a glance at the great devotee when he passed their quarters. After a short period, he came to the very place where all of them were eagerly expecting him. Haridas Thakur was greatly moved in his heart to see them all in such earnestness. His soft and compassionate heart yielded to those convicts. He silently showered his blessings on them. The personality of Haridas impressed them deeply. His hands extended as far as his knees, a rare sign in an ordinary mortal. His moon-like face and eyes, similar to lotus petals, added to the charm of his matchless appearance. The very sight of the most handsome and revered personality, Haridas, made all the prisoners present there bow down with a natural impulse of regard and devotion. Their feelings had their consequent results. Sincere longings, even of a momentary nature, can never be a failure. The sweet wishes of Haridas Thakur were not in vain. All of them felt in their hearts a flash of unparalleled joy, which brought in them a great change in the form of loving devotion to Lord Krishna. Haridas Thakur, noticing the circumstances in the midst of which they were for the moment, blessed them smilingly thus, "God bless you. May you all continue to remain forever as you are at present." Those poor prisoners felt utterly disappointed at the words of Haridas, from whom they were expecting a blessing that would surely save them from the fetters of prison life. Yes, they totally failed to grasp his kind intentions. They could not catch the meaning underlying the expression of his. Finding that all of them were disheartened by misunderstanding his words, he made haste to explain the hidden meaning of his expressions. He said, "I suppose you all feel miserably disappointed over my words of blessings, which I used just now. You have utterly misunderstood the real meaning of my words. I never bless anybody in a way that would bring mishap to them. If you just try to think deeper, you will surely be convinced of my intention. Do not feel sorry over my words. Let the minds of all of you remain absorbed in Lord Krishna, as is your state at present. This attitude that you are fortunate to have in you now is highly beneficial to you. May you all from this moment jointly chant the name of Lord Krishna and think of him constantly. At present, the minds of all of you are entirely free from any evil thought of malice, oppression to other fellow beings, and such other vices. Meditate on Lord Krishna incessantly, taking his name in all humility. If you plunge into the material world once again, you are sure to forget him by the influence of evil company." All those offenses from which you are free at present will once again make you a target for their attacks when you mix with the people of this world. That is the invariable nature of the world and its relationship. Understand this as the substance of all that I wish to convey to you. You could not grasp it, and you misunderstood me. I never desired that you should continue to remain in this prison for life, nor did I bless you to that purpose. Forget this transitory world and its fleeting pleasures and constantly utter the sweet name of Sri Krishna. May you all be blessed with unflinching devotion to Lord Krishna. after delivering a soul-stirring sermon and showering his blessings on all those prisoners present there, Haridas Thakur reached the governor. The governor had taken Haridas Thakur to be an ordinary man, but when he saw his impressive figure and striking personality, he had to change his view. He offered him a seat with great respect. The governor asked him in a familiar tone, "Brother, what is wrong with you? How are you given to this peculiar disposition? It goes without saying that of all the communities in the world, the Muslim community is the best. You are extremely fortunate to have taken birth in a noble community. Why then are you given to the practices of the Hindus, who are socially our inferiors? You have transgressed the religion of your race and adopted other methods of conduct in your life. By such improper behavior in the present life, how can you expect deliverance in the next world? For the misdeeds you have already committed out of ignorance, you are guilty of grave sins. It is no use crying over spilt milk. Try to free yourself from the sin that you have incurred. I shall give you a bit of advice that would save you from your present critical situation. Recite the scriptures of our noble faith and get reinitiated into our religion, and that will be the end of the whole trouble. I am of the firm opinion that it is the only solution to meet the situation." On hearing the words of the governor, Haridas Thakur burst into laughter, saying, "Wonderful is the illusory power of Lord Krishna. Listen, dear sir, God is one for all. He is the one eternal object of worship without a second, for all, Hindus or Muslims, for young and old, Hindu and non-Hindu, for man and woman. He and he alone is the supreme Godhead. Those ignorant Hindus and Muslims who have no knowledge about the true nature of Godhead are solely responsible for these unpleasant rivalries in religion. They create separate gods, lay the foundation for unnecessary foolish quarrels, which lead to unfortunate developments of bitterness amongst the members of both sections. If you can forget all these petty, narrow, bigoted, and fanatic feelings for a while, and try to understand with an impartial mind the real truth by holding both the Puranas of the Hindus and the Quran of the Muslims as sound authorities in judging such matters, then and then alone we will be in a position to understand that they speak of the same truth." I am acting in the way the Lord has been pleased to guide my mind. The progress of a soul in the service of the Lord entirely depends upon the causeless mercy of the Lord Himself. We advance only to the extent to which He permits us to proceed. Good sir, please judge my case now. If you still feel that I am guilty of any offense, you can punish me." There was a big gathering present to hear this peculiar case. All the Muslims gathered there were highly satisfied by the genuine words of Haridas Thakur. All religions of the world have many ideas common in them that can impress the followers of any religion. Though Haridas Thakur could win the hearts of all the persons present there, by his lucid exposition of truth, he could not convince the sinful Qazi. For the Qazi possessed an adamantine heart with no particle of human kindness in it. He said to the governor, "Let him be punished. This wicked person will mislead many others and ruin their lives. He has denounced our noble religion. The ideal that he has now set up, that is, establishing the prominence of Hindu religion, will unfailingly pave the path for many others in the near future to follow in his footsteps. This will bring total discredit upon the Muslim race. Hence, in order to remove such a slur on our society, Haridas must be severely punished. If not, let Haridas Thakur repent for his sinful deeds, accept his guilt, and follow the sublime Muslim scriptures." because he is a religious authority, and hence his words could not be ignored. So once again on the appeal of the Qazi, the governor spoke to Haridas Thakur. "Dear brother, give up the practices of Hindus and come back once again to our fold. Recite our scriptures and be relieved of all these unnecessary worries. This is the only alternative for you now. If not, all the Qazis together will impose heavy punishment upon you. Once again, I warn you, in the long run, you will have to repeat our scriptures. Why should you suffer unnecessarily?" Haridas Thakur was more firm in his faith and convictions than all of them put together in theirs. Neither the suggestions nor the threatening attempts of the governor nor the Qazis could make any change in the firm attitude of Thakur Haridas. He said, "None can go against the wishes of the Almighty Lord. Whatever the Lord wills one to do, he does. There is no power on the infinite number of worlds that can revolt against God's will. Be rest assured that the fruits of one's actions are befittingly rewarded by the ever-just hands of God. The punishment for the various offenses committed by ourselves are awarded by the same Almighty Lord. Thy will be done. Even if my body is cut to pieces and my soul leaves the body, I will not give up the chanting of Lord Krishna's name." The words of Haridas Thakur were like piercing shafts released from a powerful bow. Everyone there was taken by great surprise. The governor felt frustrated in dissuading Haridas. Noticing the strong resolve of Haridas Thakur, he asked the Qazis, "Well, what is your next move?" The wicked Qazis replied, "Let him be whipped in all the 22 streets of the town. That alone would open his eyes. He will understand the results of his sin committed by taking the name of a Hindu god. Take out his life and have no consideration for him. If he continues to survive even after severe whippings in all the 22 streets, then we shall believe the statement of Haridas Thakur. If he succumbs to the whippings, we are satisfied that he is severely punished for his grave offense." On the advice of the Qazis, the governor ordered his men in a loud voice, "Whip him in all the 22 streets of the town. Execute your work in such a way that he should not survive. Being born as a Muslim, he practices Hinduism. Deliverance from such a sin is possible only at the heavy cost of his life itself." By the orders of the Qazis and the governor, a group of wicked men, nay brutes, caught hold of Haridas Thakur. They whipped him mercilessly from street to street. Haridas Thakur meditated on the blessed name Krishna continuously. Deeply absorbed in the incomparable joy of the name of Krishna, Haridas Thakur did not feel what was happening to him. He never felt any physical pain at all. The good and pious people of the town were shocked at the sight of this heinous work. They felt greatly grieved at heart. But what could they do? Some said, "Oh, the whole country is doomed on account of this crime of torturing a saint like Haridas Thakur." Some fired a round of curses on the ruler, whereas some did not hesitate to organize even a regular riot. Some fell at the feet of those wicked ruffians in charge of whipping Haridas Thakur and offered tempting bribes, thinking that such offers might soften their hearts and make them desist from such severe beatings. These actions of the people did not melt the stony hearts of those cruel servants of the wicked governor. Without the least pity, they executed the order entrusted to them. They appeared, as it were, a separate creation, in whom the softness of the human heart was utterly absent. By the continued execution of such orders, they were rendered absolutely devoid of any feelings in them. Above all, the strict orders of their master urged them still more to the work. By the causeless mercy of Sri Krishna, Haridas Thakur did not feel the slightest pain in spite of such inhuman punishment. The extraordinary endurance is the infinite virtue of genuine bhaktis. They remain so much intoxicated in the eternal service of the Supreme Lord that they never feel the pains and sorrows of the various harassments inflicted on them by the demoniac elements of the material world. Haridas Thakur was feeling sorry for those innocent persons who were involved in this terrible crime. He repeatedly prayed to Sri Krishna to shower his blessings on those innocent souls and pardon them for all their offenses. Such wishes for the welfare of even one's enemies could never come out from a selfish man of this world. None except the magnanimous devotees of the Lord, who are free from any prejudice, can cherish such a wish. All these people beat him severely from street to street. They whipped him with all the force they could muster to end his life. But to their extreme surprise, there was not even the least change in Haridas Thakur. He was oblivious of what was happening to his physical body as he remained lost in divine bliss. He looked as lively and cheerful as he was ever. They wondered over this fact again and again. They could not get a satisfactory clue to it. They thought with great astonishment amongst themselves, "Is it possible for any human being to stand such heavy beatings? Usually by the beating in two or three streets, men are killed. Whereas we have beaten him with extreme severity in all the 22 streets of the town. Let alone the idea of bringing death to him. It is wonderful that he often laughs. As the people remark, is he actually some Muslim saint?" Thus thinking, these wicked men said to Haridas Thakur, "Well, Haridas, you will be the cause of our destruction. It is indeed strange that even such continuous and vehement whippings have not resulted in your death. We have beaten you to our utmost capacity. We are now completely exhausted and there is no more strength left in us. Still, we are threatened with a heavy punishment if our beatings do not cause your death. Our superior authorities would not trust us. Qazis will certainly get enraged and put us to death for our negligence in executing their orders." On hearing these pitiable expressions of those people, Haridas Thakur said with a smile, "If by my survival any ill luck befalls you, even after your continuous beating me for long, I am the last person to wish it. Hence, in order to prevent such a calamity, and in your best interest, I shall give up my life now. You need not have the least doubt about it. You may witness it now." So saying, Haridas Thakur engaged himself in deep concentration of the Supreme Lord. It did not take much time for him to lose world consciousness. Within the next few moments, the great Haridas became absolutely motionless. There was no sign of life on any part of his body. Those ruffians were greatly surprised at this sudden change in Haridas Thakur. How could those unlucky sinners know about the superhuman powers of Haridas? They took him to be dead. They bore his body and laid it down at the doorstep of the governor's residence. The governor immediately ordered them to remove his body for burial.